Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 263, recorded August 18th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers. We are joined today by Gwen once again.
Say hi.
Hi.
She's visiting with all you Aquarimaxers out there.
Yep.
So, who have we got today?
We have us.
Yes, we have some news.
Yep, and we have a couple of emails from Tony.
Yep, Tony in New York.
Tony in New York, yes, sorry.
Okay, so, Gwen, where did we go on Saturday?
We went to a place that had a lot of fishing spiders.
Fishing spiders?
Yeah, there were fishing
spiders. Yeah, you're right, I saw some fishing spiders.
And a lot of dogs with a really aggressive one. All the rest were bundy.
There was a loud yappy dachshund there. That's true.
Yeah, you didn't like that one, huh?
He wasn't aggressive in terms of trying to bite or anything, but he was barking a lot.
He was obnoxious.
So, other than that, what did we actually go to see there?
Axolotls.
Say it again?
Axolotls.
And what did we do with the axolotls?
We got one.
Yeah. What color was it?
Gold.
Gold, yes. Now, I don't want anybody to get confused. This wasn't Gwen's axolotl, but she happened to be there.
Mm-hmm. And Laurelyn is not here right now to talk about it.
Right, so Gwen gets to talk about it. How big would you say it is?
3 inches.
3 inches? Yeah, probably 3 or 4 inches, something like that. It's a young one. It's a gold albino. It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And
Laurelyn named it Thea.
Yep, she got to pick it out. There were 4 tubs of gold albino axolotls there. She got to pick one out. And Gwen was there watching. All the kids were there. And we got to pick out the axolotl there. She's really excited about it. We have it set up in her room. The tank was in preparation for several weeks beforehand, and now it's got an axolotl in it. She has so far fed it 1 redworm that it has eaten.
Mm-hmm.
We have a colony of redworms that we're using as its principal food source. There are also some amphipods in the tank, and I saw it nip one today. So it seems to be adjusting.
Perk up after moving.
Was a little stressed after the move. Mm-hmm. I think actually in the facility it was a little too warm. Because it felt warm in there. Did it feel warm in there to you, Gwen?
Do you remember?
It felt a little warm there to me. And I think, you know, axolotls like to be quite cool. So its gills were a little bit, you know, not as quite as perky and bushy as they should be. But I think it's recovering. It looks a little better. It looks pretty happy now. So hopefully soon its gills will be back completely to normal. And it's fun. We're embarking on this axolotl adventure. We have embarked, I should say. And Laurelyn she helped me set up the worm culture container and everything. And we noticed, I think I already said it, we saw it ate a worm today. And in her zeal, she fed it another one. After that, I told her it's probably better to wait until, wait a few days
digest
before
one.
It finishes. But anyway, it's cool. And there we are. That's our axolotl.
Were you going to put up a little video of it?
Yes, I did get a little video of it just after we put it in the tank, surfacing for a little air and going back down. It was kind of fun, so I'll put that up on the site.
It's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, well, shall we see what Tony says?
Yes.
He says, "Hello, Russ and Kelly. I am so excited about your new axolotl aquarium. I wanted to provide some ideas regarding aquarium cooling, which was discussed on several of your recent episodes. First, I think you have some good ideas to start with, such as housing the aquarium in a shady part of the basement, and also directing a fan across the water surface. I have learned that the benefit of this is the evaporative cooling. It takes energy, or heat, to make water evaporate, and this is what cools down your tank. A very nice idea. Other than this, a few more ideas. You can float soda bottles full of cold water, or even freeze these, if you like, in order to bring the water temperature down. I have used these for temperature control in the past, and so maybe these will serve you also. I'm not sure if one has to be cautious about glue under the label, so further research may be indicated. Leave some air in the bottle and it will float for you. Keeping lights off may help with heat depending on the lighting you have in the room or in the tank. In the Aquarimax bonus episode where you toured the aquaponics facility, it was mentioned that running water over rocks can help to cool it. Not sure where you can go with this, but I'll just toss that out there. Leaving the top off of the tank may allow it to cool faster since gas exchange and heat exchange will be easier. A screen lid deters jumpers." And then he asks, "Do axolotls jump?"
Hmm, okay. Well, those are some great ideas, Tony. Some of them that we're already employing. but others that we may yet need to employ in the future. I think I've used the soda bottles full of cold water one before, not for the axolotl, but when we had that dehumidifier set up in Hawaii and it was 98 degrees in the house. Remember that?
Oh, when the carpet was wet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I used the ice bottle method there. That was very helpful. And, you know, glue under the label. Here's a quick tip that I have about that. To get glue under the label of most plastic bottles, to get it off, I use a little bit of coconut oil.
Oh, yeah, that's worked well, huh?
And it dissolves pretty easily if you kind of rub it in and let it sit there for a while, and then you can scrape it off fairly easily. Of course, you don't put coconut oil on a slick on the surface of your tank. So what I do then is I get a baking soda paste and scrub it off, and then I rinse it off with the vinegar and give it a good rinse. And by that time, usually there's no coconut oil left.
Or any sticky stuff.
So that is a good way to handle that. Now, keeping the lights off, that's essentially what we're doing, except, well, we have a really dim blue night LED aquarium light on there right now, which we want to replace at some point. But lately, since the transition from fluorescents to LEDs, lighting's a bit expensive. And I had a fluorescent light that on there initially, but we realized it was getting too warm. It was about 4 degrees above the axolotl's preference. So we just took that lamp off because it was a fluorescent one. It was doing too much heat. So now we have that other one on there for now. But I want to get a white LED lamp eventually so that it can look better, because it's really weird looking at a gold axolotl under dim blue light.
Yeah,
some crisp white light
doesn't
would be
quite
better.
Show it off to best effect.
Right, but for now it's working because it's keeping the water cool. And with our swamp cooler that we use to keep the house cool, and having the tank in the basement there, when it's 77 degrees up here, it's about 72 down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the hottest it gets in the house with the swamp cooler running on a really hot day is 77.
Yeah, it does a pretty good job staying cool, this house.
Yes. Usually,
which is fortunate.
Yes. Usually it's cooler than that because it's usually not 102 outside.
It's been a pretty cool summer.
It has been a really cool summer. When it gets to 102, though, it still, you know, doesn't go above 77 upstairs, and so it doesn't go over 72 or so downstairs. So far we've been lucky with that. And of course, since August, July and August are the hottest months of the year, I think the rest of the year will be fine.
Yeah.
With the axolotl. So, but these are some good ideas. You know, the screen idea I really like, actually. What we need to do is find a screen that is more resistant to rust than most of them that they have out there. Because that would
Most of the screen mesh, they make them for like reptile enclosures, that kind of thing, not
right.
So much for fish.
And even some of them might be humid, but most of them are not dealing with constant
splashing. They
have splashing.
A plastic mesh?
That's what I'm wondering, if we could get something like that. Because axolotls, in answer to your question, they can jump.
They can.
And it has happened, and so we have a lid on there, and we want to deter jumping. So using a screen lid, I think, would be a good idea. I've been experimenting with some ideas there, though. One is to take the plastic, you know, sort of panel that's in the back of a glass lid, and cutting holes out of it and covering that with screen or mesh. And I've done things similar to that before. I've used for a millipede tank that I set up to keep ventilation going but retaining humidity. I put a glass lid on top of it. And I drilled holes in the plastic and then filled the plastic with filter floss. So there's still air exchange.
How do you have a glass lid and then drill holes in it?
There's a plastic panel that's attached to the glass. So most of it's glass, but in the back, there's a little plastic panel. I'll show you what I mean. And there's a little plastic panel that kind of slips onto the glass in the back. But I'll show you what I mean. We can look at the axolotl tank and I'll show you. And in the plastic is where I drilled the holes, because I don't have a glass drill, so... There are glass drills, but I don't have one. And when you use them, you have to be really careful and do it just right, or you can end up breaking the glass. So I didn't want to try that. But that seemed to work fairly well to keep the millipede's humidity high enough. And so I actually repurposed that lid for the axolotl, and that's what's on there right now. Never mind. It's not. That's a different one. I repurposed the lid and used it on top of my opaiula. So never mind. They're similar lids. They're similar lids. So
same kind of idea.
Yeah, but the same idea. Anyway, I'm thinking of doing something like that for the axolotl, maybe. If I can get a plastic panel and cut out a nice big piece with, and then put some chiffon mesh or some nylon window screen over it, and glue that on with maybe hot glue. That could do some
That's
of the same things. And then I could drive the fan over that section if we needed to. So those are some great ideas. Hopefully that helps. And
I don't think I had quite finished reading his. Does he have more on there?
Oh, does he? Maybe he does. Did he say do axolotl jump and that's where he was done?
Yeah, that's where I left off. He has more on there.
Oh, okay.
He says, leave your tank close to the ground. A tank on the floor may be a couple of degrees cooler than one mounted higher up. And finally, some of these ideas and others are discussed on the Reef Threads podcast, episode 189, starting about 23 minutes in. I listened to this and thought of you. I hope these ideas are helpful for anyone who wants to cool their water.
Yeah, thank you. Reef Threads 189.
Yep.
Cool.
Thanks, Tony.
That's, you know, there are a lot of people who keep things like seahorses that, like dwarf seahorses are fine at room temperature, but a lot of the seahorses need to be kept cooler than room temperature. So you need to figure out how to handle that. And then in the summer, a lot of times with high lighting on reef aquariums, they can get
too
really
hot
unless you're careful. So that makes sense that reef people
would be talking about that.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so we have another email from Tony.
Yes.
He says, I was excited to hear that you were considering shell dwellers as an upcoming project. I am lately thinking, too, about trying these out in my tank at work, a 6.6. I have a special request. If you are pretty serious about trying these guys, and if you have done some research already, would you consider doing a show on shell dweller basics? All of us cichlid fans would no doubt go bubbles for it. Thanks, too, for the great stingray video. It was really incredible seeing the young. They're really cute, huh?
Yep.
Cookies!
I took the kids back to the aquarium last Saturday, the same day we went to collect the axolotl. By the way, we collected the axolotl because it's summer here and we didn't want it to get too hot. We had a cooler full of ice. And we put, well, not full of ice, but a cooler with ice in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a cardboard box in the cooler and then put the axolotl
in the cardboard box.
Yes, and some of those air pillows. And we set the axolotl in there so it wouldn't get too cold by contacting the ice, but it wouldn't get too hot. And so it did really well. Even though we couldn't go home immediately, I was appalled when we opened the container to see how dirty the axolotl water was, and I was more worried about it being in the foul water than I was about the temperature, because the temperature was fine, but the foul water was not so fine. But we got it out of there. It defecated in the water very quickly, and the water was disgusting.
Yellow!
Yeah, but it's okay. Everything seems to be okay now. But anyway, that something to keep in mind if you need to travel in the summer with critters that are temperature sensitive, such as axolotls.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about
shell dwellers.
I have long been interested in shell dwellers. I read about shell dwellers and how to set up a tank of them a number of years ago and thought that would be great. I have done some research on them, but because I haven't kept them, I don't really feel qualified to do a show myself yet. What I would like to do, though...
we could find somebody to interview.
Yeah. If any of you out there have experience keeping shell dwellers and would like to contribute to a show, either by just chiming in, writing in, telling us a few pointers about keeping them, or if you'd be interested in being interviewed for the show and do an entire episode on shell dwellers, I think many of us would appreciate that. So if you would like to do that, that would be awesome. We do have a pet store down in Salt Lake City where we lived until recently that regularly stocks shell dwellers. Not all pet stores will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they regularly have several species. We went and looked at them, when was that? About a week and a half ago when we were down in Salt Lake. And it was fun to see. I showed the kids, I had the kids look in the tank. I think they were pearl mutts, the ones that we were looking at the time. And I said, look into the tank, tell me what you see. And they looked in, and they started saying, oh, I see the fish. They're all aiming in the same direction, which was a good observation. They were all aiming into the current. And then I said, okay, what else do you see? And they said, oh, look, little ones. And then they said, oh, even smaller ones. Oh, even smaller ones.
Cute.
They just kind of went down the scale. And I said, where are the little ones hanging out?
Pretty.
And then they said,
really pretty?
By the shells. They're hanging out by the shells. And so, what was that, Gwen?
Oh, okay. Well, if
it's... You reminded me of something.
Okay.
You can tell me when we're done talking
about
fish.
Yep, you can tell us. Okay, so... Anyway, they were interested to see that they were hanging out by the shells, and then someone asked me, I think it was Laurelyn, asked me, do they spawn in there? in the shells? And I said, yes, they do. And I explained a little bit more about it. So it was fun to see, and I do want to do that sometime. One thing to think about is that shell dwellers are a little bit more expensive than some other fish. They're not super expensive.
To buy or to keep?
Just to buy. To keep, they're quite easy.
How much do they usually run each?
It depends on the species. But I've seen certain shell dwellers, like the gold ocelotus, I think it is, for like $20 each. Rather expensive.
Really?
For such a tiny fish.
Holy cow.
They're very brightly colored. They're very active.
Yeah,
they're
but
interesting.
They're like,
but they're about an inch and a half long. They're quite tiny. But and they have a lot of personality, but that is pretty expensive. Some of them are quite a bit cheaper. I think the pearl mutts are quite a bit cheaper than that in general. But sometime I want to do it because it's very easy to set up, and you can have it's basically a communal aquarium. You put a pair or two in there, and you get lots of babies that will live multi-generationally. In some species, the babies will grow up and then help their parents take care of the younger babies and different things.
Oh, fun.
And so you have this community of all sizes and ages in there, and it's an interesting sort of setup. So I have been interested in doing it, but like I said, I don't know enough about them really to feel qualified to talk about them a lot, but I would open it up to aquariumexers out there who do have some experience and would like to share it with us. And I think that is about all for this week, isn't it?
Okie dokie.
I don't think we have any other news. So,
okay, may the fish
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquariumax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquariumax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquariumax.com.